You're tuned in to Vinylthon on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Stay tuned for 24 hours of vinyl listening.
You're listening to Vinylthon 2024. Stay tuned. Radio stations are spinning together to celebrate vinyl. This year's Vinylthon special is coming up, featuring artist interviews, behind-the-scenes stories from the vinyl industry, and a special chat with this year's Vinylthon ambassadors, Third Man Records.
Hi, this is Ben Blackwell from Third Man Records, and I want to thank you for supporting Vinylthon.
From our side of things, from me personally to Third Man, it is insanely appreciated, and it's encouraged, and, you know, we couldn't be happier that, you said 200 different stations this year? Yeah, that's amazing. That's wild. And that's only going to grow, and it's only going to have more people do individual shows where they just play vinyl, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe that's one way that we see vinyl growth is actually in the radio realm.
You're listening to Vinylthon 2024.
This Sunday, April 21st, is WONY eBoard elections for the 2024-2025 school year. All members of WONY are required to attend, and you must be a member to participate in the voting. This election is in IRC 2 at 2 p.m. I hope to see you there.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Top of the Hour on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We'll return in the fall semester with new DJs and new shows for you to listen to. To learn more about what's happening off campus, make sure to visit the City of Oneonta's page. We hope everyone has a great summer. Have a great one and keep it locked.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me this evening. I think is it evening where you are?
Yeah, it should be the same time as you. I'm in Buffalo, so 6:11 p.m.
Yeah, great. Eastern Standard Time. So first off, congrats on the new release, Gangster Love. I think this has to be my favorite release of you guys. I've just been listening to it all the time on repeat. So how long was this record kind of thought of and in fruition?
First of all, thank you. And second of all, it's kind of came to fruition over the course of 3 years since our second album, Sup, came out. We were writing and demoing kind of intermittently over the course of 3 years. Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
And what, I don't know if there's like a particular song that you guys started working on first or demoing, but is there a particular one that stands out to you as being kind of the first you started working on?
You know what? Hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this was actually demoed even prior to Sup, now that you mentioned it. It could have been on that album, but like so many other things in life, it got lost in the sauce. And then we randomly heard it when we were in the studio or like right before. It's kind of, the moment is escaping me, but It was at the last minute and we were like, oh, this actually sounds fresh to our ears, and it was fun, so we just ended up recording it.
I love how you guys don't put yourself into just one box. You guys just recently tweeted about how, you know, the fans know that you aren't just making one kind of music. You know, you're not like your stereotypical pop punk band. You enjoy like a little bit of everything. And I've talked with people that feel like the industry is trying to push people into one box, trying to say, well, you have to be this, that, and the other thing. Do you have an opinion on that standard in the industry?
Well, we've never really been pressured to do one thing by like any industry folks. It's just like, I do think it's easier to maybe market an artist sometimes if you do one thing like very specifically, and like, cause you kind of make more sense in a certain scene, like whatever that scene might be. If you're a jam band or if you're a pop punk band or a emo band or a hardcore band. But yeah, like you said, we kind of just like, we like it all. So we just make it all. When we hear something we like, we kind of just go down that route.
I like that answer. I think that's important. I love the title, like, hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this. Like, that's very satirical comment on Pitchfork and that you made, like, to market it. I had to, like, really see if it was real or not, because it looked so realistic, because, like, Pitchfork has, you know, some reviews that are like that, where they just give a terrible rating and people are like, what? And, you know, you're not the first artist to comment on that. Like, Halsey said they should, like, burn the Pitchfork basements that they come out of, and like Phineas just said, like, their review about, like, the new Billie Eilish record was bad. Was this something that you just did, like, comically, or do you actually think, like, sometimes, especially music magazines or music sites, kind of, I guess, like, their opinions are, might just be not an opinion, but for, like, a grab and a view?
Right. I know what you mean.
We kind of might have named it that as a joke, but not, like, really joking. Like, I think we were really hopeful that they didn't hear it so they didn't bash it. I think that was kind of the energy.
Yeah, for sure. We just, like, are, like, criminally unserious at times, so, like, we just like to make music for fun sometimes, and, like, thinking about somebody sitting there and being critical of it is just kind of like a weird vibe when you're making something, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Thinking about someone's reaction, or not even just a fan of music, but, like, somebody who calls themselves a critic, like, that's such a weird, it's just a weird thing to be, the more I think about it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know what you mean. I've done a lot of, like, music reviews, too, and even if I don't call myself a critic, I just call it, like, a reviewer, and almost everything that I listen to is, like, I put it in a positive light, even if I'm not, like, 100% a fan of it. I'm not like, oh, this person sucks, you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of heartless.
I say that, but at the same time, I'll sit here and be like, oh, that sucks. I hate that song. So who knows? I'm probably just being a hypocrite.
Hey, that's okay. And you talk about your music, especially on this record, like, has very unserious moments because you're kind of doing it for fun. You have, you know, playing nine holes of golf with an old man, the song Manager Haircut, naming those things, and then adding, like, those serious moments, like you have, like, drowning and then Mental Karate, you know, talking about anxiety and the feelings of that, and even how America has guns for sale at Walmart. Like, you're making literal comments on things that you're seeing in society stuff. Do you have, like, a conscious effort to have this balance, or is this just how it happens?
Wow, that's a really good question.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this album it was towards the end, but usually when we're making a song, we're kind of just making it in its own little world, and if it survives the test of time, then it kind of finds its job in an album.
Yeah,
for sure.
So luckily we have.
And there's always it. Like, I think that there's the fact that there's both serious moments and, I don't know, observational moments in terms of, like, what we see in society, but then there's also just, like, fun moments is just kind of a product of life in general. Like, sometimes things aren't serious and you're just having a good time, and other times you're like, what's going on in general? So yeah. It's just a product of life in general, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And do you think it's important to you guys to have fun in music? Because, at least from my perspective, artists, I think, are losing touch with that fun side and focusing more on, like, just trying to churn out something so people will like it. So do you think that's, like, a conscious thing? You guys are trying to continue to have fun with it and be creative with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 100% of whatever emotion, whether it's fun, dread, whatever it is, like, if it's going to be one thing, I guess, with us, it's going to be 100% that. So when there is fun, it's definitely, like, all the way. But it is, generally speaking, really fun to be in a band. So when you're doing things that are fun while it's fun, it tends to be even more fun. Yeah,
for sure.
That makes sense. And you just released the Ugly Crying With My Dog music video, and that also showcases you're taking, you know, a serious song that's talking about lyrics like, where do I go when I die, and having PTSD, and contrasting that with a pretty chill and, like, vibey, you know, you could tell you guys are having fun with that video. So what was it like making that video, and I guess why video for that song in particular?
That's a good question. That one in particular, I think it's because the label asked us to do one for that one. But I think we have another actual video we made that day as well, too, that it will be out at some point. But yeah, I mean, to get back to your question, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Pat. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess the difference in vibe between song and video was kind of just because the video was like a DIY situation where, like, the label picked it as a single, and we really liked the song too, but we didn't have, like, a big budget for it. So we were going to New York to see our friend, and he had a camera, and instead of making the video, like, super topical and, like, serious, it just seemed like, why not just have it day in life and film it and sing the song. So it's just like, I don't think it was any type of like super serious creative decision. But yeah, at the same time, it was kind of just a product of life happening. And I like it like that sometimes, instead of it being like a full budget music video.
Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable to watch. And I think it fits with the song itself because, you know, you have the serious lyrics, but it's not a serious tone. It's, you know, the instrumentation and all that is lighthearted. You know, you have lighthearted guitars and things like that. So it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
That way. And I guess I want to ask more about the imagery surrounding Gangster of Love, especially the cow imagery, because I love cows, and I love, like, you know, the cover. I don't really, the bottoms, I guess you could say, that are cow prints, and then the hippie cow merch that you guys released. What?
Yeah.
Why the cow, I guess?
It's really hard to say. A lot of times with our visual art that comes attached with albums or merch or anything, it's just like images or icons that move us in some way. And like, I feel like more times than not, we can't put our finger exactly on why. Same with like the titles for our albums. Like Gangster of Love isn't one of our lyrics or anything. It's just like, it's another lyric from another song that we couldn't quite put our finger on why it was so moving, but it just was like a direction we wanted to go. And same with the Highland cows. I just like remember seeing them and just being amazed at like the beauty of them, I guess. And I don't know, all of a sudden it just felt like something we could build around, I guess, highlighting their beauty and putting it into artwork.
That makes a lot of sense. And I remember when you gave a similar answer when I interviewed you guys a couple of years ago for Sup, and I was asking about the imagery. And so it seems that has kind of still been on brand for you to just kind of say, hey, we like this, here it is, not like huge big meaning behind it. And speaking of that interview that I did ask about your transition, the ability to transition between one of you singing into the next very seamlessly, and Matt, you actually commented on how that style may not be final, and here we are with that happening a lot on this album. Are there any stylistic differences between your last release Sup to now, or is there anything you guys feel you've gotten better at as you keep creating new music together?
I think between the two, this one was probably definitely more collaborative on like a foundation level, as opposed to either of us bringing kind of full concrete ideas. So with that, kind of opened up more doors, just, or things that would maybe happen in songs that wouldn't have if there wasn't two minds kind of going at it. And ironically, the two most collaborative songs on the album ended up being singles by chance that wasn't our decision. So I guess that kind of shows, but I would say this one was even more collaborative in a simple answer.
That makes sense. Yeah. I wanted to ask about the new LLC of Jesus Rides a Harley, which I thought when I first heard that, when you first released the single, Manager Haircut, and I heard that, or I was like, whoa, this is interesting. Where did that kind of idea come from to start creating, you know, create an LLC like that and make that the tagline?
What was it, Pat? I mean, I think it was originally a song lyric.
Yeah, I forget the name of that song. Something about Hawaii that you had going. Die in Hawaii. And somehow you said Jesus Rides a Harley in there. And yeah, there's always like, again, it's just a phrase that like was so absurd, and I can't put my finger on why it's moving. But I guess the juxtaposition between, if I really do think about it from like an artistic perspective, the juxtaposition between a religious icon driving like an American capitalist icon is just like absurd. And like, I find that there's like a lot of people that like both of those things, but there's like a lot of contradictions there. And I just think that's really, it's just really silly and funny, I guess, in terms of like a social commentary on it. But in terms of it ending up, like, that is actually the name of our business. So like, I have to go to the banks sometimes and like say that out loud to professionals, and they look at us like we're insane. So that's another funny aspect. But I feel like we did that because other bands we'd heard of, like, that we loved had always had like silly names in terms of like who pays their royalties and stuff. Like, it's always paid to like an insane LLC. Like, I can't, Matt, do you remember what Blinks is?
I think there's been a few.
Yeah, there's just some funny stories that we'd heard, so we figured we would just follow that trend and make an insane business name.
I saw fans were really happy that Drowning made it onto the album, and you know, it was a track that you played live prior to its release. Same with you know, Mental Karate. Did you know that while you were playing this live, while it was unreleased, that this was something that was going to go on the album?
I don't know if we know for 100% certain, but it was definitely trending in that direction. Just, I like, you really never know what's going to happen until you're in the studio actually recording a song or an album. But I think we wanted to make a conscious effort to play it to make sure that it would exist in the world, just because it was just a fun collaborative day when we made that song. We were just at like a lake house and wanted to be creative. So that's what came of it. And it's really cool that it exists now.
Definitely. And you guys, to kind of wrap up a little bit here, so you're about to go on tour, which is really exciting, this summer into fall a little bit. And crossing my fingers, I really hope to go to the Syracuse date. Without giving any like set list spoilers or anything, what hypothetically, what do you think would be kind of your favorite song from the album to maybe play live, or something you would love to play live one day?
There's a handful that I'm excited to play. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to actually just verse part of my language, mumble over my own words. I don't know. I think maybe Manager Haircut. We just started rehearsing now, actually, so we're just starting to play them all for the first time, and they're all actually pretty fun. And we're actually playing a bunch of old songs, maybe not on the tour, but at least now in our rehearsal space, that we've never played live. So it should be really fun and a different experience if you've seen us in the past.
Yeah, we've hardly played on tour for longer than a half hour, so we're going to play for an hour, I would assume, every night, and that'll give us a chance to play like at least 20 songs, if not a couple more. And yeah, for people who have been listening to our band since the beginning, I think it will be like extra cool, just because you might get to hear songs from like all three albums. And for people who are just starting to listen to our band, it'll be fun, I guess, for the same reason, because you'll get to hear the new stuff but also be introduced to like where we started. So we're really excited. Summer Brews and Sydney Sprague are coming too, and it's like the best time of year to tour, August and September. So hopefully folks can make it.
Thank you, Matt and Pat from Super American. Go see them live, everybody, and listen to Gangster Love. Thank you guys for chatting with me today. Learned a lot about the album, and I can't wait to keep listening to it on repeat like I have been since its release.
Hey, this is Josh from Sad Night Dynamite, and you're listening to WONY in Oneonta, New York.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma. Not at birth.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Top of the Hour on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We'll return in the fall semester with new DJs and new shows for you to listen to. To learn more about what's happening off campus, make sure to visit the City of Oneonta's page. We hope everyone has a great summer. Have a great one and keep it locked.
go. Innocent smiles don't mask the evil. Can be fooled like me. Don't be seen with me. All the games to play, all the places to go. I wanna surrender.
rain so much in California. So if I bite the hand that feeds me, I won't get enough shade. I just hope it's not too busy for ya, for ya. If I told you I'm conflicted, could this bloom a little faster if it's storming on you? And if I tell you you're going, I don't care if you don't like rain. Oh. I won't walk all over you. I won't miss you.
Let me turn this thing on.
Is everyone ready? No. What do you mean, no? Fine, then we'll start without you. Places, people. Yes, go to your places right now. All right, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh no, this is a movie intro, not a radio intro. Oh well, you're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM. Don't forget to keep it locked. I'm so getting fired.
We're here. This is Moni 90.9 FM, SUNY Oneonta's radio station. We are on location at the Duar Arena for O-Fest with Waka Flocka and Yun M.A. We have Yun M.A. here right with us. How excited are you to perform tonight at SUNY Oneonta to a crowd of eager students?
I mean, you know, I've been performing at a lot of college shows, so one thing about the college shows, they get crazy, they get lit. So I'm always excited for this. Like, it's always a vibe. It's always just good energy, you know what I mean, a good performance to enjoy. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Yeah.
Definitely. Are you planning on maybe going out on any future dates after this, maybe a headline tour of some sorts?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get there. Once the music starts driving, we definitely head towards that direction. So, absolutely.
You just released Open Scars last year to a really awesome audience. In February, you posted on Instagram that new music is coming soon. When can your fans expect that?
Like in a couple of days.
Oh, that wow. is so exciting.
Trim. Big trim.
That's so exciting.
So yeah, we're coming crazy all summer. Actually, all summer. It's over. In May summer.
Keep That's an eye out, everybody. Yeah.
Exactly. Keep an eye out for that.
Eye out, foot out, toe out, everything.
And your music video for Big just hit 100 million views, which is not your first music video to do, so you have a lot of them that have hit that milestone. But that song came out, like, over 5 years ago, and now people, you know, it's hard to get people watching music videos. Everybody likes to stream nowadays. So how does it feel to have people still want to watch that video and support you in that way?
I mean, I think it's real dope, because when you're an independent artist, like, those numbers is not easy to hit. You know what I'm saying? When you're independent, You grind it from the gutter, from the bottom, all through you. So hitting 100, even like 50, you know what I mean? It's big. You know what I mean? Shout out to Big. That's a platinum record too as well for me, my other platinum record. So, you know what I mean? When you hit those type of numbers as an independent artist, it's automatically like just a blessing, a gift. Because as much work that's being put into it, it's not easy like it is with certain situations. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a big look.
You have always really had a very humble presence in the rap scene. Mm-hmm. And you've shown your gratitude greatly by supporting community members through your Queens Foundation. Right. How important is it for you to remain humble in the rap scene and support those who need that support the most?
I think it's always important to stay humble, because it keeps you grounded. You know what I mean? You're dealing with an industry that has a lot going on. Sometimes you can get caught up in it. Sometimes you can get lost. So, like, being humble, it kind of keeps me tame. You know what I mean? Keeps me trim. Keeps me level. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I purposely put myself in those positions where I remind myself to stay humble, because you could get caught up. And, you know, I just enjoy it, because at the end of the day, I be me at all times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't change my ways for nobody. So, if me being humble is me, then that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It ain't like a strategy to do. It's just something that comes with me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
I think that's super important, especially in the music industry with a lot of big egos. So.
Yeah, a lot of big egos, a lot of competition, a lot of things going on. Like, those are the type of things I don't let affect me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I stay in my own zone, stay in my own bubble, I move like that.
Definitely.
That's great.
And yeah.
You've definitely also, besides music, we mentioned the Queens Foundation, whatever, and to kind of wrap it up, you know, you've gone to a lot of different avenues. You know, you had, like, that alcohol collaboration that you had, and you had your NFTs and things like that.
Right,
so
right.
When you were first starting out, you know, obviously you're probably very focused on the music, but how has it been to go into these other different avenues, and would you like to keep pursuing these other avenues besides music in the future?
No, absolutely. That's what we tapped into now. You know what I mean? Just definitely tapping into other avenues and different lanes of things where the business will continue to, you know, contribute. You know what I'm saying? Definitely my brand. I have my own brand that I move with. So it's always good to move into new avenues and stuff like that. So, yeah, we doing that at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, music is here forever. But, you know, you know, as you go, you progress. You become, you know, a little more different. You start to tap into the business a little more, have more of a standing of what you can do and what you can provide financially and just branding-wise in general.
You put that really awesomely. So thank you so much, Yon M.A., for taking the time to speak with us, and we're really excited for your performance tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. My name is Gideon. We've got Sophia in the studio with us, and we welcome, following the incredible Lisa Heller, we welcome Luke Mock.
Yay.
Woo.
Yay, thanks.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, honestly. Nervous.
Nervous? Yeah. For this or for the concert?
For the concert, I'm super happy to be here. But yes. Honestly, just to...
You're not nervous for this, are you? I don't make you nervous?
You know, in a different way.
Yeah. Okay. We're about to have a really super, serious, professional discussion.
Yes.
Because I don't know you at all.
Right, not even a little.
So, I don't know you. You know, this is the first time I'm meeting Luke Mock ever. Tell me about Luke Mock.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy to be here. Opening for the Driver Era, you know, with Lisa Heller. I love her. She's amazing. Just telling you about me, I guess. I'm an acoustic, often, but indie pop artist, and I'm from Auburn, New York. I'm just put out a bunch of new songs, and I'm super, super excited. I've got this cool string of shows I'm doing, and I'm super happy to be here right now. And I was saying that I'm nervous, but honestly, it feels good to be nervous. It's been a little while since I felt nerves for a show, so I'm kind of taking that as meaning I'm excited.
Yeah, that's excited. A little nerves is okay. A little nerves makes it.
If I'm nervous, I must be excited. It must be important. I know it's gonna be good though.
Exactly. So you've been playing a string of shows. Tell us a little bit about where you've been playing lately.
Absolutely. So, I was just playing at the State Fair. That was incredible. The New York State Fair in Syracuse, and I also just got done with a show opening for the Q-Tip Bandits in Ithaca, which was awesome. They're an amazing group, and After Six was another one of the acts that played. They were incredible as well.
And now you're here.
Yes.
Back in Oneonta.
We made it. Back home.
Back in Oneonta. You played a lot while you were a student here. You just graduated, but you used to play here a lot.
I did. I miss it more than anything.
Are you excited to be back?
I'm unbelievably happy to be back here, but I will say I don't know what it's gonna feel like. Like the show, I've played a bunch of places here, but I haven't played the arena. That atmosphere is gonna be different, and I know it'll be special. So
it's like a homecoming show,
something like that. Yeah,
it's gonna be really cool. So we just played the Universe Funk remix, which you dropped Universe when you first got here as a student, right?
Yeah, so I wrote it immediately as I got here. In 2019, and released it, recorded it, finished recording it right when COVID started, and then released it during that first summer, going into my sophomore year when we were all home.
So then, flash forward, that was a huge hit locally, huge hit. I just remember being at one of your shows and everybody was singing along. This past year, when you were leaving as a senior, you dropped a remix with Xavier Sharp, which I also don't know him. Never met him before. Don't know who he is. Yeah, I don't know. But you dropped a remix with him. What was that collaborative process like, and what made you want to drop a remix like that?
Well, I'll start with the second half of that question. It was kind of a full circle moment, and the process of getting us started and kind of how it came about started with Xavier, really wanting to experiment with the song. And he kind of pressured me just a little bit. And then we were like, wait, this is really cool. When we started kind of messing around with the more funk, elements in the production. And we were like, oh, we should do this for real. Cause it, I came here, put out Universe, and now I was preparing to leave, and it was just kind of a full circle moment to kind of put this new, and to me it feels like a new and improved version with its own kind of taste to it. So
for sure,
yeah. And the collaboration process was great. Xavier and I lived together at the time, so we would basically, I would hear him working on it down the hallway and he was kind of like hyper obsessed with it.
As he was. I remember like listening to it when it was in fruition.
Yeah, it was definitely a really fun process. I've never made a song like that with someone that, you know, I lived with, and you know, where someone else was like, I'm super into this, and we spent a lot of time like developing what we wanted it to be, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. So it was really special. And working with Xavier, he's such a good producer. He's a great writer as well, and an artist. But in general, just working with him on a song was super nice. We complement each other pretty well.
You do. Yeah. I saw an interview that you did with somebody else that you were going over your inspirations. And you said, who inspired you?
I thought you just said you read it. Who inspired me?
Who inspired you? No. This is how radio interviews go. I of throw course. You a bone and you have to finish it.
Of course. So, I mean, I'm inspired by a lot of things. I mean, the sun coming up every day. No, but really.
So that's just, you know, Shawn Mendes waking up.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to a lot of people that listen to my music know that I'm a big Shawn Mendes fan. You know, I got a lot of inspiration from him as a singer and a guitar player as I kind of developed and grew up. Lately, I find a lot of inspiration from other pop artists, too, like Harry Styles, Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish, and, you know, just a plethora of new music. I love the pop sound right now.
I agree. And, I mean, they're the best of the best, so.
And, you know, speaking of the remix, Dua Lipa as well, and Calvin Harris, that kind of stuff.
For sure.
A big inspiration for that, specifically.
For sure. So, you also dropped a new song this past summer, but before we talk about it, we have to talk about the most important song in the Luke Mock catalog. And that, of course, has to be High School Crush. We have to talk about High School Crush, Luke. You approved this question.
I did not approve such things.
I didn't.
I approved nothing. You asked me before this, and I was like, we cannot talk. Okay, what do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Well, I never heard the song. Oh. And because the one show you played the song that I was... Since I got to Oneonta, I wasn't there. I had COVID. So
that's a bummer, man.
Yeah. And I remember texting our friend Erin. She like sent me, oh my God, he's playing High School Crush. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that I have COVID and you're playing High School Crush. So now, as to make up for that, you have to talk about it on air.
Okay. Well, that was the song that kind of followed me. Like if I were to say that Universe was the full circle moment song of my career here in Oneonta, High School Crush was the song that followed me throughout my freshman to senior year in high school.
Gotcha.
It kind of became noticed by the school because there was this talent show that we would do right before winter break at my high school. And I ended up winning the talent show my freshman year. In the final round, I played that song. I played High School Crush. It was the only original that I had played. And ever since then, like, everyone in the school knew it, and it kind of became that song. Like, Universe is Here, it became the song that followed me throughout high school until I got here and replaced it with Universe.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I know that question was something that... Actually, I have to give a shout-out to Hannah, because Hannah came up with that question, right?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm super, super glad.
Yes, super glad. So, before I let you go, and before we play your new song, I want to talk about What You Deserve. That's probably, like, one of my favorites that you've done. I remember,
Thank you.
Watching you play it, watching you... just your... kind of creative journey with that song, from everything to like the writing of it, and then when you were going through the producing process and putting it out and marketing it, and even down to like the cover art, which I can't claim that, you know, I was a part of that, but it was really cool to see when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, you were around for the whole process in terms of getting it done, so
yeah. It's cool to see that it's out, and it was cool to listen to, you know, on my phone, which, by the way, you can totally listen to on your phone at Luke Mock on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere you get music. And what's your website? LukeMock.com?
LukeMock.com, you know.
LukeMock.com.
Heck yeah.
You can see merch, where he's playing, all that stuff. But talk a little bit about, before we play it, talk a little bit about What You Deserve.
Sure. So this was probably the song that I really came into my own as a producer. And I'll get into like what the song is actually about, but in general, the song, it was the first song I really produced on my own. I had a lot of help and mentorship and collaboration with friends and really talented people with the rest of my, with my other songs as well. But that was really where I sat down, wrote the song with a good friend of mine named Brian Blowers. I write a lot of songs with him. But in general, the production was very me. I got every element, wrote every element, and kind of constructed it to be what I felt like really represented me as an artist the most. And so I guess just talking a little bit about what it's about. The writing was talking about how I was unable to kind of give somebody what they deserved in a relationship, and it was very difficult because it was better for them.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Stream Better by Luke Mock.
As you were talking about the song, the Be Real went off.
Yeah, I was going to say, your Be Real is going to be cooler than mine.
So check out his Be Real, too, if you want to see a little behind the scenes of the madness in here.
Check out his Be Real.
So, yeah, we're going to play What You Deserve by Luke Mock. You're opening the show tonight at the Dwar Arena. Luke Mock, Lisa Heller, The Driver Era. Make sure you keep tuned in to WONY 90.9 because we might have another special guest coming in a little later. So keep your eyes peeled and ears peeled for that. This is What You Deserve by Luke Mock.
Hi, everybody. Hi, WONY listeners. Today, my name is Faith. Today, I'm here with Lisa Heller, who is opening at tonight's show with The Driver Era in the Dwar Arena. Welcome back to Oneonta.
Thank you so much.
You've been here a few times in the past couple years. How does it feel to be back and this time playing in a big arena like the Dwar Arena?
I'm so excited. I honestly just feel honored that you guys wanted to bring me back, and I'm just really excited to be here.
How does it feel? Are you excited to open for the Driver Era?
Yeah. I have watched Ross on Disney Channel growing up, so it's really cool to be playing a show with everyone.
Oh, yeah. I was a Austin and Ally girl for sure. So to start off, you know, you've been creating music for a long time, since you were about in high school, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How has your approach to songwriting changed since you were a high schooler to now, you know, into your career, immersed into it fully?
Yeah, I think it's definitely changed a bit. I always started when I was like 13, 14, when I was starting to write, I would always start like on the piano in my parents' house because a Steinway piano got passed down from my great aunt when she passed away. And I was like, I'm going to teach myself to write a song. And it ended up taking like, I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I ended up going back to the same song like over and over and over again, and I finally finished it like 6 months later. Like, it took a really long time. So the process is definitely different now. Like, I can write a song sometimes in like half an hour. So it's definitely different. Sometimes it does take a little bit longer. Like, maybe I revisit it. I'll write it one day and then revisit it another day or something like that. But the process is definitely shortened a bit.
Yeah.
Luckily, because that would take a really long time. But yeah, I usually now, I sometimes write on the piano. I sometimes, like, if I'm co-writing with other people and they bring a guitar to the session, we sometimes write on guitar. I've also written over, like, if a friend who's a producer starts making, like, a beat or something, I also write over that. So it's kind of, like, varies, depends on, like, what the session is and what we're doing. But I always try to, like, bring my perspective and like my roots of like writing on that piano and the emotion that I feel and I felt growing up, like writing and that feeling to every session that I do.
When did you decide or like, you know, figure out that you wanted to be a musician? Was it just like an organic thing?
Yeah, I honestly like didn't really think that I was gonna do anything with it. It was more just like for my own personal like mental health and stability. I would come home from school after, like, sports practice and stuff when I was, like, 14, and I was kind of struggling at the time, but I didn't really realize it until later. But I just, like, would always go to the living room, sit down at the piano, and just be like, all right, I'm just gonna, like, write a song right now and, like, just let my feelings out. And it kind of just started as that. And then as time went on, I kind of just, like, decided to start putting music out and see what happens. And then one video kind of just, like, went crazy on YouTube, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna, like, move to LA and just give it a real shot, because this is when I would do that, and just see what happens. And yeah, I've been there the past few years, and now I'm going on my first, like, really big tour, and I've gone on a, like, three other tours in the past year too. So this year is, like, kind of been the year so far.
Yeah, you are going on tour in the fall. You're gonna open for Christian French this fall across the United States and stuff. Like, how exciting is that? Like, are you nervous, or are you more excited than nervous, or a mix of both?
I'm so excited. I am a little nervous too. With a broken ankle, it's gonna be interesting doing this big of a tour. But I feel like what I've been putting in the past few years of just, like, doing my time, like, performing shows, whether it be to 2 people or 5,000, which I've done both, just, like, figuring out, like, who I am as an artist, who I am as a live performer, what people want when they see me on the stage and everything. Like, I've learned so much about that, and I feel like this is, I wouldn't have been ready a couple years ago. Like, I think this is the time, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a really awesome tour. And I'm always curious about, like, songwriting processes for musicians. Some of them prefer to write the lyrics first, or have an instrumental or things like that to write off of. What is your kind of area? Like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to start with the lyrics and then melody and all that comes after? Or what's your kind of creative process like with that?
It definitely varies. I think the songs, so, like, a lot of times I go into a session and it's like, okay, we have to write a song today. And it's like, okay, I need to, like, pull from something. And it's kind of like whatever comes first that you really connect with, is that that's what you go with. So sometimes it's like, oh, we start playing some chords and then, like, a melody pops in my head. I'm like, oh, I like that melody. And then lyrics kind of just come after. There's other times where I'm like, I had this lyric idea just randomly pop in my head. Like, one time I was driving and my phone was about to die, and I, like, had this lyric idea, and I had to write it on my coffee cup because I didn't have any paper. So I totally depends, I think, on the situation. Sometimes I literally just wake up in the morning and I'm like, I have the song idea or melody idea. So it kind of just depends. Like, I don't know if you believe in, like, a higher power or something, but sometimes it just, like, comes. And I'm like, Where did this come from? I don't know. But usually I just lean into that and then right from there.
Okay, so it varies just depending on the day, I guess, and what happens. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So diving into your music, you know, it's very melodic, very rich vocals, very powerful lyricism. Recently you released your new EP, Damage Control. Could you go into the EP a bit, just starting out, what is, like, the meaning of it to you?
Yeah, so this whole year I've been releasing a song a month, and then every 4 songs it turns into an EP. So it's like 3 EPs. And it's kind of just been on this journey, starting from the beginning of the year, and it's going to keep going to the end of the year. And this, like, middle EP was kind of, like, the low point, I think. And I wanted to get that across in the different emotions that you go through when you're in, like, a low moment. So, yeah, the 4 songs were Downer, Damage Control, Pretend, and Rock Bottom. And Rock Bottom was, like, the one that's, like, the very low point, because it's, like, rock bottom.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, like, get that across, and, like, get across, like, dealing with mental health and stuff like that. But each song definitely has its own kind of thing to it. So Downer was a little bit more playful, and it's more just, like, a fun song but still talking about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pretend was a really fun song that I did with my friends Night Shift, and that was more just, like, reflecting on a relationship that has passed, and it just never lined up correctly. And as I said, Rock Bottom is, like, was, like, the low moment. I think that's my favorite song I've released so far, actually. And then Damage Control was the title track, and that was kind of just wrapping up the EP and talking about how you can reflect on these things and have all these bad thoughts, but sometimes, like, they're just thoughts and you can get through them. So that's kind of what I wanted to get across, like, overall with the EP.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And yeah, you wrote everything so like beautifully and elegantly. Like it just really, it speaks, you know? And that's what I wrote down. I said, like, each sounds quite different from the other. And I was inferring like representing up and down moves as you just kind of like go through life. That's kind of, you know, a collection of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also really love the cover of the EP. I'm like a big music like cover person. I like to look at them and see like kind of what they're about. So, you know, it's you sitting in a room full of records and cassettes. You have like that blue background and, you know, fun text and things. Could you explain kind of the inspiration behind it, if there is any, and like what it means to you?
Yeah, definitely. So for all the songs on that EP, I actually found this house in LA, and we were shooting in all these different rooms, and we chose like each room based on like the mood of the song. So this room in particular, I was like, this is like the perfect room to tie the whole EP together, because it has all these vinyl records. It has like this old school retro vibe to it. It has blue, which is my favorite color. And it just kind of like set the mood of like all these different feelings and emotions. And I just felt like it was the perfect kind of setup. And yeah, so I worked with a photographer, Alyssa, and she's great. And then I worked with my friend Emily, who's like amazing at graphic design, and kind of as a team we figured out like, okay, this is what we want to do photography wise, text wise, and it kind of just like all came together.
Oh, that's awesome. You're talking about how Rock Bottom was your favorite song, and I do want to give listeners a little taste of who you are. So it features a little different mix of different elements in the EP together all in one that has its, you know, up and down moments in it. So I think we should play it. So this will be Rock Bottom by Lisa Heller. So that was Rock Bottom. I love that song. One of my favorites off of the EP for sure. And I know a lot goes into figuring out kind of what songs you want to have out into the world. So you had, you know, you released two singles prior on, you had Pretend and you had Downer, and then that one. What was the reasoning kind of for, I guess, all these songs in particular to kind of be on this specific EP or release now?
Yeah, I think that honestly it just felt like organic, and I wanted that to come across with what I was releasing and like the order and stuff. Like, I feel like a lot of people kind of overthink it, and they're like, I need something to go viral on TikTok and then I'm going to release that one. And just being in LA and stuff, like, that's something that a lot of people are talking about. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to bring it back to, like, what do I feel when I listen to the song? And what would I feel as a listener if I didn't write the song? Like, what would I feel? And I wanted to take people on, like, that journey of, like, okay, Downer is, like, kind of more playful. Like, if you don't really want to get too deep in your emotions. And then Pretend is a little bit more deep. And then, like, Rock Bottom is, like, the deepest that you could go, because it's really like admitting things deep about yourself. So I kind of wanted to take people on that journey, and that was kind of the goal, just like to bring people in, and like if you haven't heard of my music before, to just relate to it, because I feel like that's what's so powerful about music, is being able to relate to something deeper.
Yeah, definitely. I love how you said that, especially with the point about, you know, TikTok virality. A lot of people I feel like are writing for that, so it's nice to see, you know, or in here, things that aren't just for that. And also, like, yeah, music is powerful. Like, it's a powerful tool. Even if you don't listen to a lot of music, you still are consuming it one way or another. So yeah, definitely. So thank you for answering all those questions. Just to get into some fun general questions to learn a little bit more about you, what has been some of your favorite music lately?
Oh my gosh, I've been listening to a lot. Trying to think. Jeremy Zucker has always been one of my favorite artists. I've been listening to him a lot. Also, Remy Wolf. I've been loving her music.
Oh, I love Remy Wolf.
Yeah, those are two of my favorites for sure. They're very different, but I just, like, I love both of those artists.
Yeah, it's good to have a good mix of genres going on, you know? If you could tour with any artist or band, who would you choose?
Ooh, that's really hard. I would maybe say Taylor Swift, just because, like, her lyricism and everything are so powerful, and I really wish I saw her on this tour, but I just feel like she's such an amazing artist and person.
Yeah,
and I feel like that would just be like the coolest experience ever.
Yeah, I also wanted to go see her, but I was just like, the ticket prices were crazy, and also like, you know, nothing around really in New York to go to, honestly. Yeah. But do you have any final words for our listeners?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much. Thank you for bringing me back again. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited for the show tonight. Please let me know if you heard my music and you like it. I always check my DMs. So, and my DMs are always open to talk about mental health and stuff. And I think, you know, life is hard out there. So it's really important to, like, have people to
talk.
You
are listening to WONY 90.9 FM. Oneonta, New York.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is so innovative, it not only improves the lives of veterans, it transforms the lives of healthcare professionals who serve them with access to the latest technologies and remarkable benefits. Transform your future at vacareers.va.gov.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Top of the Hour on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We'll return in the fall semester with new DJs and new shows for you to listen to. To learn more about what's happening off campus, make sure to visit the City of Oneonta's page. We hope everyone has a great summer, have a great one, and keep it locked.